It is indeed always a joy and a great privilege for me to come here and open the Word of God together with you. When I received this invitation, I shook indeed, because it's a great responsibility. It's really a big responsibility to stand in this pulpit where you know that the truth and is always being taught, and people are always being well fed. So it is a privilege for me indeed. So thank you so much to the leadership for inviting me here, and to everyone. It's a joy for me to see many familiar faces here, and I'm so happy to see you, brothers and sisters. We are going to look at this text today from Ruth chapter 1, from verses 1 to 22, where we are going to see God's mercy and grace indeed to those who seek after Him, as we look at this wonderful book of Ruth that is talking about God's providence and redemption, showing us the pictures of God, that God indeed always wanted to include Gentiles also into the commonwealth of Israel, into His kingdom. He wanted all men, everyone in the whole world, to be part of His kingdom. He did not discriminate from the beginning. He showed that, and this book is a wonderful example for that. But before we start, please let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is light in our path. Your word is life in our bones. Your word, Lord, is leading us and showing us the direction to which we should go. Father, we thank you that your word is your presence within us. You are here with us by your word. You are going to speak to us by your word today. Help us, Lord, to be receptive of your word, so that, Lord, our lives may change, so that we may grow in trusting you and in loving you. Lord, prepare our hearts so that they may be well-prepared soils that will be ready to receive it. Help our lives, Lord, to change because of your word. Because your word, Lord, is life. Without your word, we have no life. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you do when the world around you despise godliness and pursue sinfulness? You know, this is the question that came to my mind when I read this book of Ruth. This is an introduction to a great story of God's providence and redemption. But from this first chapter, we see a picture that the writer of the book of Ruth is showing us right at the beginning, that indeed there are times when people do things their way and despise God's ways. But when you find yourself around people who despise godliness and just live their lives as they want, what do you do as a Christian? It's a question that will be addressed by this text, and we will see some examples from this text as to how we can learn from what God is going to teach us here this morning. We live in times indeed where people live their lives as they see fit. We live in times where we hear a lot about, giants, people whom we look up to. You hear that they have fallen into sin, and they have done this and they have done that. And sometimes it is very discouraging. But we are God's children, and we are in this world where people are living their lives as they see fit. We have a way in which we are to live our lives as Christian, because we are in this world, yet we are not of this world. Indeed, we need to be the light of this world, even though the world around us is in darkness. So the text before us this morning introduces us to a God who never lets sin go unpunished, yet gracious to those who repent and rewarding to those who are faithful to him. If we look at the background there in verse 1, the writer of this book, which is not Ruth, is telling us about the time, is telling us that this book was written at a specific time in the days of the judges. He says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was famine in the land. Why? In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, God told his people that he is taking them out of Egypt. He is going to give them a land that is dripping honey and milk. And that land they will be provided for, and they will have plenty of food. Yet if they disobey him, he will curse them, and all these benefits will be taken away from them. Now in the days of judges, people were living the way they wanted. The days when the judges ruled were actually dark days for Israel. The period was characterized by the phrase, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. When you read in Judges chapter 17 verse 6, Judges chapter 18 verse 1, Judges chapter 19 verse 1, chapter 21 verse 25, this same phrase is coming again and again. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes during that period. That was a period of spiritual decline in Israel. Unfaithfulness and sin had become a lifestyle to the people of God during those days. As a result of that, famine was a punishment to them. God punished them by failing their crops. Their crops did not give them food. So, because of that, when there was famine in the land of promise where God has given his children to stay with an intention to take care of them. Now, the people of God, Elimelech, as we see in the verse there, Elimelech and his family, they left the promised land and lived to a land of Moab. They fled from Bethlehem, which is known as the house of bread. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And they were in Judah, in the promised land. They left there because there was now famine. And as they left there, they went to a land of compromise, which is the land of Moab. The Moabites were the enemies of God. The Moabites were not the good people whom God had told them to live with. Actually, he told the Israelites to kill everyone whom they will find in Canaan, including these Moabites. They were supposed to be dead, but because they refused to kill everyone in the promised land, so they had these nations that were idolaters who were coming to them, and they were also mixing with them and ended up worshipping their idols because they didn't want to listen to God. Now, this family of Elimelech and his wife and his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they are in Moab because they are looking for greener pastures where they can find food. Now, here is the problem. Now, Elimelech, while they were there in the Moabite land, Elimelech died. Naomi's husband, he died. Whether this was a result of God's anger or not, this passage does not tell us. But when they got in the land of compromise, tragedy struck, and Elimelech died, leaving Naomi as a widow, alone now, without a husband. So she was left there with two sons, and these two sons also married the Moabite women there. It was not permissible for Israelites to marry foreign wives. They were supposed to marry from within their group, from the Jews. But these two sons also married the Moabite women. As a result, they also died. When we come to verse 5, and the narrator tells us that after they have lived there about 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion also died. In verse 5, Naomi has lost everything she came with from the promised land of Judah. All male figures have died. He had no husband, no children, and her daughters-in-law are now barren, because for the rest of 10 years, of the period of 10 years, they did not have any child. Indeed, this was a curse to someone who is a Jew, It was a curse not having children in your marriage. It is clear that the hand of God, the hand of the Lord, was upon this family, and God was chastising this family for leaving the promised land to a land of compromise. Why is this important to us? Because when we look at this story of Naomi and this family of Elimelech, we see that indeed when we try to solve our problems with the solutions that are outside of God's will, we only create more problems for ourselves. We only make the situation worse. You see, in Canaan, there was no food, but there was hope, because they were in a right position where God, the Almighty, had put them. There was hope that someday God will make it happen. But now they are in Moab. There is no food and there is no hope, because they are in the wrong place. Because sin is very costly. Sin costs us more than what it promises. Sin promises relief only to add a burden. Sin promises all treasures. It promises us glory. It promises us satisfaction, only to leave us empty. Sin is very costly. That is why the whole Bible is teaching us not to sin. It's teaching us to avoid sin, because sin is costly to us. It is costing us more than we can imagine, because it breaks down the relationship between us and God, and it breaks the relationships between one another. People start blaming one another when there is sin. You know, in the Garden of Eden, when there was no sin, Adam and Eve did not blame each other for anything, and they had fellowship with God. But when sin entered, they ran away from God. They didn't want to meet God anymore. Then they started blaming each other. And even the universe became not friendly to them, because sin is very costly. That's why the Bible is always warning us against sin. This is what we see here. Elimelech took his family away from the promised land out of God's will, and tragedy struck, and it costed them everything. Now Naomi is left in that land alone with these daughters-in-law. Now it's the mother-in-law and the daughters-in-law. Everyone in this family is in law, so you can imagine the amount of law that was in this family, because the mother-in-law, the daughters-in-law, everyone is in law. Now Naomi sits and think, what should I do now? Because this situation can cost us our lives. We can die because of hunger and poverty, because we have no one now to take care of ourselves. And then we come to verse 6. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. And after they prepared to go home, Naomi's solution was going back to where God wanted her to be in the promised land. With her two daughters-in-law, she felt that she left the place where they have been living, in the place of Moab. And on the road, Naomi said, no, it's not wise to take these Moabite women and take them to the land of Canaan, because I know the hostility that they are going to face there. I know that the Jews will not accept them, so their lives will be hard. So let me leave them here. And he tried to tell them to go back to their mother's home. He tried in verse 8, go back each of you to your mother's home. He tried again in verse 11, return home, my daughters. And again in verse 11, return home, my daughters. He was trying to persuade them to go back to their families and go back to their people and go back to their gods, remarry and continue with lives. But as he persuaded them, the Bible tells us that they did not agree with her. They wept. They did not want to return because they loved her. The relationship that they had with her was a good relationship. However, at the end, after Naomi has given them convincing evidences that they can lose a lot by following her to the land of Judah, they will lose their families because they leave them behind. They will lose also an opportunity to have more to have another husband and bear children. So they will be, you know, taking up a cross when they follow him. And Orpah, one of the widows, she was convinced, and then she kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and returned to her gods, to worship her gods and to start a new life, because she had calculated the cost and saw that, no, this is the life that looks beautiful to me. The life that I'm going to live there in the land of Judah will be a difficult life, so it's better for me to go back to my gods and live the way I used to live before I married to the Jewish family. However, but Ruth, when she heard that Naomi was persuading them to go back to their gods, to go back to their families, and to go back to their old life, Ruth refused to go back. She clung to Naomi, because Ruth also calculated the cost and came to a different conclusion than Orpah. She came to a conclusion that I'm not turning back there. I'm no longer going back to an old life. I cannot go back to worshiping idols. Now, I want to worship the God of Naomi. I want to worship the God that Naomi had shown me, that he is indeed a true God. Yes, I hear Naomi is complaining, but what I have seen about this God is different from what I know about the idols that I used to live. So, Ruth made a decision in verse 16 and said to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Ruth is willing to sacrifice everything and cling to her mother-in-law. She is willing to sacrifice her father. She is willing to sacrifice her mother. She is willing to sacrifice her family. She is willing to sacrifice friends. She is willing to sacrifice even the gods that she used to worship and follow Naomi. Hide under the wings of the Almighty God of Israel that Naomi is worshiping. And she's determined to do that. No matter what. No turning back. She says, I'm not longer turning back there. Just like the song that we sang this morning. That cross before me. And I'm not turning back. There is no turning back. Because the way of the cross is a one way. There is no turning back to someone who is carrying a cross. This is the commitment that pictures the commitment that our Lord Jesus Christ commanded to his disciples, those who want to follow him. In Matthew 16 verse 24, our Lord Jesus said to them, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because the life of following Jesus is the life of the cross. If someone is not ready to take up his cross, forsake everything else, and count everything else rubbish, but Christ the Lord, that person is not ready to be a true follower of Christ. Because he says in verse 25 of Matthew 16, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And in Matthew 10 verse 38, anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. This is the picture that we see from Ruth. And the Lord Jesus is emphasizing the same thing to us Christians who are living in during this time. That we can learn from this commitment of Ruth. That Ruth calculated the cost. He knew that this life will cost him. It will cost her a lot to leave Moab and go to the land of Judah. Yet, all those things that he will lose will be temporal things. But if she hides herself under the wings of the Almighty God of Israel, the benefits will be eternal. It is the same thing as someone who is not a believer right now, who is still living in sin. Sin is promising him temporal benefits, yet he or she is forfeiting the eternal benefits of eternal life that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the picture that we can learn from, that Jesus wants faithful disciples for his kingdom, who are totally committed to following him, regardless of the challenges of life, just like Ruth's commitment to Naomi. Yes, she was going to be an enemy to many people in Judah, yet she did not see that as an obstacle or as something that can stop her from going to worship Naomi's God, because she saw that that God is a true God. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, then she stopped urging her. So the two women went until they went to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? And look at Naomi's answer there in verse 20. Don't call me Naomi. I'm not pleasant anymore, because the name Naomi meant pleasant. So she says, don't call me pleasant, because I'm not pleasant anymore. She told them, call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Indeed, Naomi had a reason to be bitter. She lost everything that was treasurable to her. She lost everything that was important to her. Her husband and her children also she lost. She had a reason to be bitter. And now she wants to be called Mara, because the Almighty hand was upon him. She now realizes that it was not just a chance that I lost my husband. It was not by chance that I lost my children, but it was the mighty hand of God that was causing misfortune upon me. It was the mighty hand of God that was afflicting me because of leaving the land in which the Lord had promised to our forefathers to provide for us in it. And now, in verse 22, Naomi made a choice and made a decision to go back to the land of promise where God had promised to their forefathers. Because now she had seen that it was not right, it was sin for them to leave that place. So she repents of that sin. Even though she was just submitting to her husband, who was the authority and the head of the family, but she understands now that being outside of God's will is very costly. You better suffer within the boundaries of God's will than going out of the boundaries of God's will, trying to find a refuge in your enemies. Now she had learned a lesson. She repents. She comes back to the land where she is supposed to be. She believed that God was with her. Now, when she left Judah, God was with her. She believed that. But now when she returns, she believed that God was against her. I believe many of us here can identify with Naomi in many ways. It may happen that at some point in life you were happy and satisfied, and now, just like Naomi, you lost your happiness, you lost your satisfaction, and you have become bitter against God. I just want to encourage you this morning that you can also do the same thing as Naomi did. You can turn and go back to God. You can go to God, and God is ready to receive you. Because even though we do not see what God is doing with our lives, sometimes bad things happen in our lives and we do not know why God is doing this to us. But God is at work. Even though we may think that He's against us, but even in His anger, God is gracious and merciful. We can sin, and then if we repent and turn back to God, God will accept us and also receive us back to His arms. And the lessons that I just want to point out here as I run out of time. Life has a way, brothers and sisters, of making us bitter sometimes. But when that happens, we must turn back to God. Because even in His anger, God is merciful indeed to His children. He is always ready to restore us. Whenever we come back to Him in repentance, He opens His eyes and restores us back to Him, just like the father of the prodigal son. In all this, Naomi learned that life outside God's will is bitter, but life in God's will is pleasant. So, brethren, even when we face hardships in this life, let us remain in God's will. Let us not go out of God's will. Let us remain of God's will. Because quick fixes and shortcuts are not profitable for God's children. But they are problematic. They only cause more problems to us. Maybe they can work for other people who are not Christians. But for us who are Christians, because the eye of the all-seeing God is upon us, and He wants to purify us for His glory, He will not make us prosper in those things. Even though unbelievers may prosper, but for us, because He will chastise us, because He is purifying us, He is cleansing us of our sins. He wants to present us before the Father, pure and blameless. So we, as the children of God, we should remain in God's will at all times. When challenges come our way, let us not be like Elimelech, who left the land of promise and went to the land of compromise. Let us not be like Orpah, who chose to go back to her idols to seek for temporal comfort. But let us be like Ruth, who became faithful to her mother-in-law and faithful to the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, regardless of the hopeless situation she found herself in, because God rewards those who are faithful to Him. And even in our tragedies, God is working behind scenes. And those who love Him, who are called according to His purposes. Paul tells us in Romans 8:28 that to them all things work together for good. And in Romans 8:38, he even says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in this, in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we are held safely in the hands of the Almighty God, who works things for good to those who love Him. If we know that we love God, we must be sure that if we remain in His will, if we obey His word at all times, even though sometimes it is difficult and hard to obey God's word, but if we remain in God's will, we know that God is with us. And even if we have sinned, committed any sin, and experienced the chastisement of God like Naomi, remember His grace is sufficient for you also, because even in His anger, God is merciful to His children. You can repent and turn back to Him. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's Psalm 145. So now, as I conclude, during this time of judges, as we have seen that everyone did as they see fit in their own eyes, which is a time that is really a time like the one that we are living in today, where everyone is living in sin, where everyone is unfaithful to God and living the way they like to live. I just want to ask this question. What do you do when everyone around you does as they see fit and not being faithful to God? Do you join them like Orpah, or you become faithful like Ruth? And today I pray that the Lord help us by the power of the Holy Spirit not to be like Elimelech, who left the promised land, not to be like Orpah, who turned back to her idols, but to be like Naomi, who repented of her sin, and be like Ruth, who became faithful to God and committed herself to serving God. It's my prayer for each and every one of us here today, that from these lessons we may be faithful to God. When we commit sin, we may repent and come back to God, so that we may be able to serve Him in a way that will bring glory and honor to His name. Please, let's pray together.